By little and it's day by day, little by little in every way. tonight. We've got several out, but sometimes that happens on Wednesdays. Job situations and everything. There's several that are having, Brother and Sister Thompson are having to work tonight. And the Ratliff family's up at the hospital. Sister Ratliff is... Mike, would you get me some water? I'm sorry. She's fully awake and conscious and trying to talk and drinking water and eating ice. And she wants that ventilator off of her. They're weaning her off of it. So they've got it set where... She can breathe on her own, and it'll assist her if she's not breathing often enough. But they hope that they're able to take it off tomorrow. They did have to do a tracheotomy because it had been in too long and making her throat sore, and her mouth was becoming so irritated, so uncomfortable. So it's more comfortable when it's down here and not big tube running out your mouth and all of that. I told Sister Smith if they ever put me on a life support system, they better do something like that because I'll go crazy probably. If I'm tied down, you know, they tie your hands down so you can't pull it out in your... subconscious or anyway, I feel for her. I asked her if she would like for me to trade places with her, and she said yes. I didn't think she'd say that. So I said, I wasn't expecting you to say that, Sister Elsie. I just was hoping you'd go ride this out yourself. But I told her if I could, I would. I'd try to bear up under it. But anyway, it's a miracle that she's come out of this. I wouldn't have gave you much hope. The only hope I had was just the Lord. I didn't have any hope left in her condition, but the Lord's lifted her up so many times that she's really blessed of the Lord. So... Sister Ann Thompson wanted us to pray for her little granddaughter, Nicole. She's evidently in a situation that they really need prayer that looks like that she's not in a very good environment. And so they asked that we pray for her. Sister Karen Golden's sick and down in her back tonight, and Brother Curtis is working late, so they asked for prayer. Sure good to have Sister Tiffany back. We missed you Sunday. Appreciate having her. And Brother James Paul is with us tonight. Met Brother Brett and was invited. We're glad to have you, Brother Paul, James. And anyway, it's just and before I finish taking prayer request, I'll mention that we've got this little lady right here, Elizabeth. Oh, it's Elizabeth. Is this yours? It is. Okay. All right. What else do we need to pray? You have a prayer request here tonight? Yes. Brother Henry's been in now the hospital. We miss him when he's not here. Let's remember him in prayer. Yes. Sister Sandra's not doing well. Sister Ann. All right. Remember that, Brother Josh. All right. All right. Yes, remember that. All right, Brother James. All right. Brother Pryor had a UPS truck breakdown on the highway, and he's gone to work on that. He hopes he'll get back in time, but may not, Sister Cindy. All right, let's remember Brother David Angelo also. Keep him high on your prayer list. He's got terminal cancer, but God. That's what we have to... That's what I was saying about Sister Elsie. I was trying to prepare the family if we lost her. I said, it may not look good, but God, we can't rule God out. He can fix everything. He can fix anything. So, and I know Sister Elsie would like for you to pray for her family. This is affecting her family. You know, the Bible says the day of death is better than the day of birth. Because, Solomon said, it's because the living lay it to heart. Not that it's better to die than it is to be born, but it for the purpose of considering God. A lot of people don't consider God till they get around death and see someone dying, or see, you know, experience a loved one's death, or getting near to death. And that's when you start considering, you know, what happens to a person when they die, and considering yourself, where would you be? Sister Gail was telling me this morning that a lady, apologize for my voice, I didn't have this, but this, all this pollen, I'll tell you, it's terrible right now. But she said a lady that's up at the hospital, one of her loved ones, was, she just was telling Gail. She just said her mother was in the hospital there. And she said, I'm staying up here with her. And she said, I had to go to the washateria to wash my clothes. And she said, this lady just came up to me in the washateria and started talking to me and telling me how much I needed God. And she said, I started telling her about my mother and being in the hospital and her condition, and that mother was a good Christian woman, and she'd been our rock for the family spiritually. And she said, this woman started telling me, your mother's not always going to be here. She's not always going to be the rock. Who's going to be the rock when she's gone? Are you going to take any of that responsibility? She said, this woman just started working me over. And Sister Gail said, that woman telling me about it didn't know it, but she was working me over. And she broke down even this morning on the job and was telling me about it. She said, I know God is dealing with our family. She said her daughter, one of her daughters, not Amy, but Nikki, told her, Mother, we got to get back in church. Our family's got to get back to serving God. So it's affecting them. So I told Sister Gail, I said, God uses things like this. Just like he uses death. He uses situations. God will use anything that he can to deal with people's lives. Especially if you're God's child. You may not be serving him, but you're still his child. That's one of the things that a lot of people don't understand. In the book of Revelation, the Bible said a book was opened, which was the book of life. That's the Bible. And it said, and the books were opened. And the sea gave up the dead that was in it. Well, every one of us, or your life is a book. Your life is, God's got a record. That's what that word books means. In fact, I'll just hold off just for a minute on prayer and just look at that right quick in Revelation 20. In the 12th verse, he said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. That's the word of God. But the books that were opened were records. That word books there means records. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. So your life is a record. Of course, this setting right here in Revelation 20 is the resurrection of the unjust. The bride's already resurrected and ruled and reigned with him for 1,000 years, but all of God's children that are unjust resurrect after the 1,000 years. But I can still use this scripture to show you your life is a record. And you'll be judged. We're all judged with the same judgment. You'll be judged with things that's written in the record. God has a record. Your life is a record. Paul said to the Corinthian church, he said, you're living epistles, read and known of all men. Not only is he have a record, but even people you know have a record. That's what that lady was saying about this lady's mother. She was saying that woman was a rock because her testimony, her life, everywhere she went, it was a testimony that she was righteous and that she served God. She was a righteous person, upright and holy, separated for the calling of God. Here, these books are open. Then the 13th verse says, the sea gave up the dead which were in it. You have to understand in the book of Revelation, the sea, it's explained in the 17th chapter, that it's peoples, nations, and tongues. That's the world. And there's a lot of God's people out in the world. Did you know that? There's a lot of people that they know God, they've been born again, but they're not serving God. They're out in the world living. The Bible calls them ungodly sinners. if you're just ungodly, you're not an ungodly sinner. He that knoweth to do right doeth it not, to him it's sin. But if you've never known God, you're just ungodly, you know. You have no knowledge of him. You've never been born of him. But if you've known God and you go back out in the world among them, then you're considered an ungodly sinner. You're out in the world living in sin, but you're still God's child, and you will resurrect. And God will deal with you in the resurrection. He'll try to save you. The sea gave up the dead that was in it. And then it says, death and hell gave up the dead, delivered up the dead that were in them. And so, death and hell, that's two different categories of people, but it can be closely related. Death is reigning. You know, if you're serving God, if you're living for God and you're living a dedicated life, you're alive unto God. God counts you righteous. This song we were singing, little by little, day by day. It's Isaiah said it's line upon line, here little and there little, line upon line, precept upon precept. God is, salvation is a progressive work. Peter said, you're built up a spiritual house. This is a building. God's working on a building, and you're part of it. But it's not built overnight. This is a progressive work. God's working something in our lives. Like the song said, I'm not the same person I used to be. I can say that tonight. That's my testimony. I'm not a finished work yet, but I'm not what I used to be. God has worked on me. He's changed me. I've got a different understanding of God through knowledge and revelation of the Word of God. And it's took time for God to deal with me and change my thinking and change my spirit and my purpose and my focus. Brother Leniger used to say, my camp, my conversation, my attitude, my motive, and my priorities. That's your camp, your conversation. You know, if you don't watch your words, you don't watch what comes out of your mouth and guard that, and you let your mind go to where you're letting your mind go when you let words come out of your mouth that aren't righteous, that aren't guarded, and that aren't wise. And so God, you know, Jesus said that. He said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You have to guard your heart. Look at that scripture in Proverbs 4. I won't have to preach after we pray, will I? I'll be done. Proverbs 4, I love this chapter. Verse 20. Says, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. To pay attention. Attend to my words. Give your attention to the Word of God. And incline, be inclined to the sayings of the Word of God. And let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. So he's saying, you know, pay attention, listen, and keep the Word of God before your eyes. And then keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. It'll, you know, when God's working in your life, it'll change a lot of things about you. It changes your behavior. And so your conversation is very important. And then your attitude. I'm a pilot, so, you know, in a plane, attitude means everything. Attitude determines your altitude. There's an instrument in an airplane that's called an altimeter. That's your altitude. And then there's another one shows the attitude. It shows whether or not it's an artificial horizon, and it shows the attitude of the plane, whether it's going up, going down, whether it's making a left-hand turn or a right-hand turn. And and you have to watch the attitude of an airplane if you want to keep it in the air. Because if you know, the way an airplane flies is, there's more wind going under the wings than there is over the top of them. And the wind going under the wings creates lift. And then you have to have enough propulsion to give you forward thrust to overcome weight and or drag. You know, wind hitting you and the weight of the airplane, you've got to overcome that. And so you have to have enough forward thrust. And once you overcome with forward thrust the drag, and there's enough wind under the wings to create lift, you're airborne. So Paul said, he said in Hebrews 12, didn't he? He said to lay aside every weight, everything that hinders you. He was working on, there's things that'll weight you down if you're not careful. Your service, you're serving God. If your attitude, if you just let things weigh you down, you know, focus on the negative. You don't have enough faith to believe God can help you and lift you up out of every situation. We're serving a God that can handle anything. He's big enough to handle any situation. but he's a wise God too. Sometimes God won't do just anything you ask of him because he's wise. And there's, if you're like me, if you've lived a little while, you'll be glad God didn't answer some of your prayers. You'll look back and say, "Ooh, I'm glad I didn't do that." You know, I'm thankful for a father that knows what's best for me. And when he won't give me what I'm asking for, I'm trying to be content with what he has gave me. But I know that I've got to keep my attitude. I've got to remain faithful to him. I've got to believe and have faith. I can't let the world and the ways of the world and sin and the sin nature get me down. So if I watch my attitude, and when you're flying by instruments in the clouds or, bad weather and you can't see outside, you have to go by instruments. Sometimes that's how you need to do when you're serving God. You can't pay any attention to what you're seeing. Just look at things, and if they look bad, just say, it's stormy outside, so I'm going to look at the instruments. And you look at your attitude and say, well, my attitude indicator is my faith. And my faith says that I'm flying level. I'm doing all right. I'm not going down. All right, and then look at your altitude. If you're too low, then climb a little bit. get on your knees. That's how you get up in here. You get down to get up. Get out on your knees and start talking to God. Asking him to help you and encourage yourself in God. And then your motive, you've got to have, your heart has to be pure. You can't have a motive for selfishness or pride or for self-gain, but you have to be willing to say, God, not my will, but thy will be done. However you want to direct my life, lead me. And, when you're going through things, Sister Elsie right now, all she can do is just take it a day at a time. She can't look outside. It's too stormy. It's too cloudy. It's not enough. There's not enough clear sky for her to see where the end of where she's going. If she looks at her situation and thinks about it, it'll get her attitude will drop, or her altitude will drop. But if she'll just serve God today, he's a today God. He's, Jesus said that. He said he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God of the living and not the God of the dead. If you're alive, then he's your God. If you're alive, then there's a reason you're alive. He won't even let a sparrow fall to the ground without his permission. How much more are you than a sparrow, his child? How much more does God love you than he loves the natural elements of his creation? And so you can encourage yourself, and you can check yourself and get your motive back right, get line up with God's will. I have people ask me sometimes. Somebody asked me this week, said the scripture says the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. I said, how do you know if you're a good man or woman? I said, well, if you look at that scripture, what that scripture really means is it means that a person who is serving God and living a dedicated life before God, God will direct his steps. You know, the way you know if you're good or not is, are you dedicated? Are you serving God with all you know to do? Are you living a righteous, holy life? Are you doing all you know? If you are, God's directing your steps. And, you know, when things happen to you, God lets things happen sometimes, even by chance. Solomon said that. Chance happeneth to all men. Something just happened, you know, it just happened. Don't think things don't just happen. God allows things. He allows you to go through life just with natural happenings. He's not always there every time you stump your toe. God didn't make you stump your toe. You just tripped and you fell. You didn't see what you were going to trip over. He didn't reach down and prevent that. He just let you go ahead and experience the fall. It doesn't mean it won't help you if you hurt yourself or help you overcome the injury, but God will let you undergo. You know, God, he don't want to be your cosmic Santa Claus. You know, this religious world out here has got this idea that, you know, this name it and claim it message, and just, you know, you're going to, you know, prosperity. Let me tell you something. God don't want everybody to be prosperous. It ain't even wise for everybody to be prosperous. I can tell you that. I'm not even God. Now, I've been a businessman long enough that I can tell you I've ruined some people by giving them more money than what they were worth. Did you know that? There's some people can't handle too much blessing. They can't handle too many riches. Riches would destroy a lot of people. But God does. He would like to make you rich if you can get there righteously. If you can develop and if you can have the right attitude, the right motive, you can keep that. Brother Talley was telling us the other day about Saul, how Samuel had to tell him. He had to tell him, when you were little, when you were small in your own eyes, you was humble enough that God chose you. You was small enough. And what he was telling him was, you got too big for your britches. You know. Yeah, 3 score queens and 4 core concubines, I'd say that's pretty exalted. Think you need that many women? 700. I can't handle one hardly. But a king can do whatever he wants to do. You know, you can get so big that you can think that, you know, you're able to do anything you want to do. But wouldn't you like to have God give you everything he has available and be able to handle it? Oh, God. Jesus had it all. And he walked around in sandals and he didn't have a place to lay his head. And he could have called 10,000 angels. But he said, God, I know you want me to go through this. I know why I'm here. I know what my calling is. He knew there would be a time where this world will be righteous. There'll be a time for rejoicing and having things better than they are. You know, if God puts you in a calling where you have to do some suffering, there's something wrong with this world. If people don't think that they are to go through the experiences, that life. God made life the way it is. And God doesn't want us to escape every little hard thing. If you'll handle it right, you'll come out on the other side wiser. You'll come out stronger. And you know, I don't like trials myself, but I'm starting to treat them more like challenges, more like opportunities. Got another opportunity to prove God, to prove that the Word of God works in our lives. So, and then our priorities. You have to keep your priorities right. You know, you got to keep them intact. That's one of the reasons that the parable of the sower is the parable of parables. Jesus told his disciples, he said, "What? Know ye not this parable? How shall you know any parable?" He said, if you don't understand this parable, if you don't understand that how the Word of God's got to get down in your life and begin to work, and how if you're just wayside soil, He can't do very much in your life. Just a little old bird can come by and pluck up the seed of God's Word. That's what I was reading in Proverbs 4. You've got to pay attention to God's Word and be inclined to it. You may have to ask God, God, help me to love the Word of God. Help me to want it. Help me to have a desire. I'm just going to tell you right now, the flesh is not too interested in the Word of God. But if you'll pray and ask God to help you, He'll help you. If He sees you really down in your heart, really would like to have a desire, I think God will help you. If you'll make a step towards Him, He'll make two towards you, maybe three or four. And so, where was I? Right there, that last thought I had. I didn't want to lose that. Huh? Yeah, the parable of the sower. Because I wanted to work on that part of it just a little bit. That how the, you know, wayside soil. You're going to have to get your heart tenderized enough that you can let God down in your heart. You can't be so hard-hearted like wayside soil that you can't have very much faith to believe. And then he said that the stony ground. He talked about that like he said they receive the Word of God readily. But then when trials or affliction comes for the Word's sake, he said, they're offended. So that's how the Word of God works in your life. When you come to God, you'll get the Word of God down in your life, and then here come a trial, because when you're serving God, you're living and you're believing the Word of God, and you're really trying to live it, you can believe you're going to have some trials, because the whole world is upside down to the Word of God. The whole world's going the other direction. They're not living a righteous, holy life. And if you try to live one, the world will be against you. Jesus said they hated me and they're going to hate you. Well, so when a trial comes and you get offended, you know, but the trial comes for the Word's sake. It's so you can put the Word to practice and prove it right and come out on the winning side. So it can be established in you. If you go through the trial holding on to the Word of God, And you gain victory and overcome the trial, standing on the Word of God, you'll be established in the righteousness of the Word of God that you were standing on. And that's a change. That's a precept. That's a little bit. That's a line on line. That's another step in God for you. But then, do you know, once you get to a place where you're serving God, living for Him, and you've learned how to hold on to the Word of God, and you've got out of the world. It takes a little while to get out of the world. You can't just come out of the world and come into church and get your life turned over to God overnight. You can pray through, you can get a good touch, but in the morning, and it may linger. You may get enough touch from God to feel good for a few days and be able to live in that surge of faith that you got. But you're still you, and you're going to come right back to being who you are, And you're going to have to find God, and you're going to have to find the Word of God. It's going to have to become life to you. You're going to have to get it in your heart and then guard your heart. And the hardest trial is the thorny ground. It'll come up and choke out the Word of God. And that, believe it or not, that's when God starts blessing you. You start serving God, living right, and get out of the world and become more holy and living a righteous life. God starts blessing you. He'll start rewarding you for your commitment to Him and your service, your living and obeying His Word. God gets in your life with you. He starts working with you. And He starts blessing you with natural things. And when the more, you know, that's a dangerous thing, because when you start getting natural things, you get your mind off of God. You get your mind on them natural things. And God wants you to handle them, but He wants you to handle them righteously. And but if you're not careful, they'll choke out the things God's been working in your life. And a lot of Christians go round and round that circle. They serve God. They get up to a place God starts blessing them. And the blessings they can't take. I want to be able to serve God and get everything He's got available to me and keep my priorities right. I'd like to be able to know that, you know, that's something to me, that He's calling us to be kings and priests. Kings, rulers, and having everything that God has available. If you're going to rule with Christ, you're going to have everything God's got available. But to be able to handle it. You know, some people can't handle God's blessings. They can't grow to a place of rulership. I'm watching that right now in this body. God's working on rulership in this body. He's purging rulership. You saints are, y'all can just rest for a little while, but when He gets this leadership fixed, He's going to start working on y'all. He's calling you to be rulers. That's what God wants out of every one of us. He wants us to be righteous rulers in the kingdom of heaven. He wants you to be able to rule your own life, but He also wants you to be able to rule. He wants you to be a leader and serve others. And your wisdom will help others in the ruling of righteousness in their lives. Not for the sake of being somebody's lord or being somebody's boss. I saw a lady's T-shirt, when was that today, I guess, up in the hospital. I was walking behind this lady, and she had on a T-shirt, and it said, "I'm not bossy. I just know what you need to be doing." I thought about getting me one of them shirts. Is it totally like that, didn't she? She wants one of them shirts. Brother Tally, you better be careful. Well, if you're righteous, you're not bossy. You just know what people are supposed to be doing. The best way to teach them is through example, and then when let them come ask you. Hallelujah. Well, I love God and I love this walk. I don't know another way. The death and hell are going to give up the dead that's in them. There's God's people that death, they're not out in the world. They haven't went out in the world, but there's people in the church today that death's ruling in their life. They're not living a dedicated life. They know it. And death is ruling in their life. And a record. God's got a record. If they're not just, they'll have to come up after the 1,000 years, and God will. They'll stand before a judgment seat, And by the way, the judgment is that book of life. This is it. This is the book of life that judges your life. If you think in the end of the world you're going to come stand before, that's how I used to think it was. I had this picture in my mind that in the end, you know, there'd be, especially when I wasn't living right, I thought, you know, God, or some way, I just had it kind of pictured in my mind, there'd be a big throne and a big God, big booming voice, you know, and we'd have to get in line. I used to think, Sister Bryant, that I'd be, at least with a name like Smith, I'd be at the end of the line, at least back there a ways. But you'd catch the fire before me. If you weren't living right, I'm saying, you might have. I didn't know how it was going to be. I had this picture in my mind of judgment. I didn't realize that in the New Testament, Paul said every man must stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And that judgment seat was that ministry back there that was, and the Word of God, and the works of God, the demonstration of the Spirit, people responding to it. You know, the Word of God being preached. Do you know they turned that world upside down? They went into cities and manifested the fullness of God. They saw all that God had available. It was manifested. And people that rejected that were judged. It judged them unworthy. Doesn't mean just because they rejected it one time. This went on for over 40 years in the end of that world. A righteous ministry and the power of God and the seven spirits of God. That scripture, is it in the fifth chapter of the book of Revelations? Where the seven spirits of God, they were going to and fro. Sent forth into all the earth, wasn't it? Yes, verse 6. Revelation 5 and 6. And then the seven lamps are the seven spirits of God. But in chapter 5, they're the seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. That ministry back there was sent into all the earth back there to preach the gospel and manifest God's glory and a full understanding. Like Paul said in Ephesians, the third chapter, I believe, where he said, let me read it to you. I can almost quote it, but verse 17 says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. My Lord. Now unto him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And that's the Word of God. The power of God, the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Not just the Word of God off of, or the letter of it, but the Spirit of life that's in the Word of God. That you might be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, verse 16. that he would grant you, let's get that 16th verse, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That's the Holy Ghost nature. That's the born again nature of God that's been imparted to you. And that's what you have to grow up in. Your mind is going to have to be transformed. Your thinking. It'll change your spirit. It'll line up with the Holy Ghost nature that you've been born of. That's why I keep saying this. It's the vehicle. Your mind is the vehicle of your behavior. It's how you manifest yourself. Your mind. When you act on thoughts, that's who you are. And if you're carnal, then you're carnal. And death is reigning in your life. But if God transforms you by the renewing of your mind, if God begins to change you, your thinking, you start thinking like God thinks about things. It takes time to know how God thinks about things. I don't even know how he thinks on some things. People ask me sometimes, what do you think about this? I said, I don't know what to think about it. I'm just watching God. I'm going to see what he does. Sometimes I see situations, I want to put my hands on them, but sometimes I think I better keep my hands off of this. I see what God does. I want to watch what God does. Sometimes it's necessary to put for someone in authority to do something. Sometimes I'm learning to be careful, be slow to speak, slow to wrath. I'm learning that. I'm learning that it's got to be mixed with the proper amount of mercy, the proper amount of grace. There's got to be a mixture there. There's an eternal judgment, but it doesn't come until the iniquity is full. I'm trying to learn God's ways. But to really know and understand and to really be strengthened with might, to know him, to be rooted and grounded in love. My Lord, have my roots in God enough that the love of God is working in my life. And that don't mean, look, when I'm talking about the love of God, I'm not talking about everything's rosy. I'm talking about beating the hide off of your kid when he does something wrong because you love him. You know that? Sometimes it takes strong correction sometimes to correct. And we're living in a world where people won't hardly take correction. It's just hard to humble down to correction and be humble enough. Now, I'm not focusing just on the correction side or discipline side. There is the love side too. You got to have that. You got to have mercy. You got to have tenderness. You got to have grace working in your life. But there has to be a proper balance for us to have that. To get grounded in God's love, where we, our judgment is right. It's, we're knowing how to judge our own lives. God, if you're going to rule and reign with him, you're going to have to judge other people's lives. And for you to develop and reach a place in perfection where God's going to choose you, rule and reign with him. I don't have any doubt that it's going to take 1,000 years. It's going to take probably a few hundred just for us to figure out what we're doing and how to do it right. I mean, I don't know how we're going to do all that. How many, you're going to rule over how many cities? One city, three cities, five cities. How many cities are you going to rule over with God? If you're going to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years, what do you think that means? You're going to have some responsibility. God's going to give you some assignments. You're going to have to deal with a ministry and people in different areas all over the world. This whole world. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. It's going to take 1,000 years to do it, but you're not just going to be floating around eating, hanging off with your feet in the cool, cold river of life, eating a banana as long as your arm. Brother Durham's son, Aaron, you know, I used to say that. I got that off of Clyde Patton. Brother Clyde Patton said, when I get to heaven, he said, I'm going to sit down by the cool river of water of life, hang my feet off in the river, just let it flow. And he said, I'm going to eat a banana just as long as my arm. I used to quote that. One time, Aaron, he wasn't wanting to come to church. I said, son, why don't you want to serve God? He said, I don't even want to go to heaven. I said, you don't want to go to heaven? He said, no, I don't care about hanging my feet off in a river, and I don't even like bananas. I said, oh, God, I got to fix this. I said, what do you like? Let's find something you like. You know, children get funny ideas sometimes. Oh. Anyway, for us to be able to comprehend with all saints. Saints are just people. They're righteous. They're holy. They're upright. They're wise. They're faithful. They're overcomers. What is the breadth? What's the length and the depth and the height? Well, I know the length. I know that's faith. You're not going to go no further than God. Wouldn't you like to have enough faith to know I'm going all the way to the end? I see the finish line. And then the depth of this. I know it's humility. You have to be humble. You have to get down low. To get on a good enough foundation with Christ, it takes humility to serve Him. And to get enough foundation in your life of mortifying yourself, your own ideas, to get the goods, to get the reality of what God's purpose is. And then the breadth, the fear of God, to get an understanding, a knowledge and understanding and a comprehension of all the things of God, to where you're in awe of Him. You're in reverence of Him for all that He's done, for all of His Word, to fill up everything, your whole life and everything in your being with the things of God, the breadth of this thing. It's big. Do you know that? It's big. It includes it all. The more you know Him, the more you'll be in awe of Him. The greater He'll become. He's not a great big God when you first meet Him. He's just an idea. He's just He's part of your imagination. He's part of your puzzle you're putting together about life. But the more you get to know Him, the more reality. Like I said the other day, our relationship right now is more with Jesus Christ than it is God. But when Jesus is through with you, He's going to put you in connection with the Father. He wants you to know God and the source of life and the power of God and God's fullness. He don't want you stopping at Him. He knows that His Father's greater than Him. His Father created Him. His life is dependent upon the Father. But right now, we're just trying to serve Jesus. We're just trying to serve Him as our Lord. We're trying to get a great enough relationship with Him that we can know Him enough that He can put us in connection with His Father. And then the height. to rise up in the things of God. I know it's going to take honor. It's going to take knowing how to honor God properly in your life, how to serve Him, how to give Him the proper honor, how to let God's order work in your life in the proper way. It all these things work together, but but I know, I just know that it's going to take, you know, I know our lives are too much about ourselves. And when it begins to turn and it begins to be about others, and it begins to be about God's will, and you begin to learn how to honor everything God can honor, everything God looks at, how God looks at things, what God lifts up and what He puts down. You begin to lift up what He lifts up and put down what He puts down. You don't put emphasis on things that God won't put an emphasis on, but you put emphasis on things that God honors. You get to where you can honor your brother. You can find something good about everybody you meet and lift them up, build them up. You ever met anybody like that in God? Somebody that when you get around them, they just make you feel good? They'll just begin to find something in your life to lift up and build up and honor. I know I need more of that. I'm working myself over right now, but I need it, so I'm just going to take it. I want to learn how to honor my brother and my sister. Find something that God loves in your life and why He's trying to save you, and work on that and build that up. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, let's pray. Bless the Lord. Yes. Who? Scott? All right, Sister Amy's not feeling well. Brother Scott's got an unspoken request. He's still at work, I suppose. What else? Anything else that hadn't been mentioned? All right, glad Brother Pryor made it in. Yes, Sister. Okay, Brother Dotson. All right, let's remember him and Brother Keith and the kids. There's several are out tonight, but I know sometimes, especially this time of year, people get busy and people have to work and different things happen. So, Sister Durham. All right. I'm flying tomorrow to Boston, so I wish you'd pray for be with Brother Rivera in Haverhill, then I've got to go to Montreal. Churches up there, so pray for my trip. And let's remember our leaders in our nation, in the world. We know we're living in a crucial and critical time. The Bible tells us to pray for them. God knows they need help, don't they? And the Lord's put them in. He lifts up kings and sets them down. So He's put them in their seats. And so I want God to help them. I want Him to hold back the four winds till He gets His servants sealed in their foreheads. So let's keep asking God. That's part of the four winds: the political system, civil power, and financial powers, and religious powers, and what did I leave out? Military power. So all of those winds are blowing right now, aren't they? Military powers in Iran, Afghanistan, North Korea, all these situations that's rising up, all of these civil powers having disruptions and chaos, and then the situations right here in America that took place in Boston this week is, I've heard so much about that, The news was on yesterday, and I said, I've heard enough about it. I said, I don't need to know what's going on in Boston. We've got enough trouble in Little Rock. You realize years ago, nobody would have known that. Nobody would have known what was going on up there 50 years ago. It had took weeks for that news to got down here. Well, we knew instantaneous. Bam, it's coming on your cell phone. Pictures, bombs, watching them blow up. Over and over. I said, we're carrying the whole burdens of the world. We know every problem and every nook and cranny. It's more difficult. You're carrying more, you got more on your mind. There's more burdens. I'll tell you, get your focus on God, what He's doing in your life, and let some of these things just have to kind of brush them off like a bug on your shoulder. I don't mean to make light of what happened in Boston. I don't mean that at all. But I just mean you can't let your life be disrupted with all that's going on in the world and get you out of focus with what God's doing in your life. That's got to be your priority, is what God's doing. And you'll be able to fit all the rest of this in the right balance. All right, let's stand and pray and ask God to help us here tonight. Praise God. Blessed be the Lamb of God. Oh, God, I know you know these needs that were mentioned here tonight, Lord. Brother Angelo and Sister Elsie, oh, God, these critical situations, those that are in critical health conditions, Lord, our loved ones, your saints, oh, God, work your will, Lord, in their lives. Preserve them, oh God. Let us keep them longer if it will fit in your will, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, oh God. Those that aren't here tonight, God, all of the needs that were spoken, we just ask you to take them, oh God. Work your will in every situation and case, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed Jesus. Dear God, Sister Lee in Fort Worth, God, touch her, help her in her situation, this cancerous condition in her body. Brother Lionel Joseph, God, touch him and help him. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Help us, oh God. Help us, Lord, to serve you, to get closer to you, Lord. Work your work in our lives, oh God, in this assembly. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. If the ushers would come, we'll receive the offering. Or if you could help us out, our offering over the weekend was much lower, almost half what it normally is. And we didn't have Wednesday night before. So, if we could receive your blessing tonight, appreciate it. God bless you as you give. love him. I do too. All right. I'll see you Sunday morning. Bible study downstairs at 9:30 breakfast and 10 o'clock Bible study. If I'm not here, my representative will be. Whoever that is.